Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
It is another Hoops Adjacent episode of the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldrich here in D.C. with the up and down Wizards, who lost a bad one Monday night in San Antonio. Out in the Bay with the Golden Children, with the Warriors,
nothing up and down
America's
about us.
Sweethearts.
Nothing up and down about us in the Bay.
Marcus,
that's how we
Thompson.
Roll. Hey, yo, it is insane to me that they're here. Like, this is nuts.
Yeah.
Are we really right back here? Like, are
You're
we
right back at it?
Like, this is crazy.
Act like you've been there before. Act like you've been there before.
Exactly. I'm trying.
Be a champion.
I'm trying. I'm trying, man. Like, every game is like the biggest game in the world now. It's like, it reminds me, I hate saying this. I really hate saying it, because if you were there, you just know. It reminds me of 2015-16 and how every night was like this barometer, right? Every night was like they just kept doing something. And I don't think this team is as good as that team, but this is ridiculous, dude.
The defense piece to me is the one that I'm just stunned at how good they are already so far this season. I mean, Lord. I mean, they're doing this like, you said, in 15-16, you could understand, because Bogut was so good defensively, you know, low-key, underrated good defensively. And Dre was not known and was younger and didn't have all the mileage. And
so they was Iguodala.
Iguodala and Livingston and all those guys that could just sick on people. But this year, I'm not shocked, but I didn't think this group could be this good defensively.
No, I'm shocked. I'm not even.
You just run it from shock.
Listen, we were like, man, if they're like, what is it, 20 games? If they were 13-7,
yeah,
like there still would have been a parade. Like, right. It would have been like, yo, Warriors back. They are 18-2.
18-2.
Like, they could lose these next two games against Phoenix, and it don't even matter.
Like, they're 18-4.
It won't matter. Like, right now they're 18-4, and there's one team better than them, right? Like, what does this even mean? Like, this is Zora. This is nuts. This is ridiculous.
What do you, Zora? You act like Zora didn't cover a team that's won a ship. You know what I'm saying?
No, no. Zora is chilling right now. She's on that. Like, we already got our ring hype.
No, there was a little bit of, you know, I won't say a storm, but the beginning, you know, to the ride this season has, you know, had its wavelength, so to speak. But what's interesting is in Milwaukee, like, there's been so much narrative about, like, the regular season not meaning anything because of all those years where they couldn't progress in the playoffs. Right. And so I'm in a world where, you know, they could be, you know, only two losses with, you know, 20 games in, and no one would be cheering or jumping for joy because everybody would be like, all right, we'll do it in the playoffs. And now it's finally like, oh, they did it. And all that is hushed. And so it's interesting just to see the different dynamics of the two seasons.
Let's bring DA into the conversation here.
Welcome to Hoop.
Comma is
adjacent on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I turned it on and I heard Shaq with the barbs. It's like the bullshit and braggadocio. I was transported right back into it. I was like, oh, this is great.
I think I rap better than Shaq.
With David Aldridge.
Oh, he's totally playing. Yes.
and then they cut their lungs out in front of everybody on TV.
Michael was not your friend.
It was popping in there.
And Marcus Thompson.
I just can't get with this idea of taking 1 hour of content and finding the morsel that might pop and blowing at him.
Hoops adjacent.
Welcome to Hoop 5-4. We have ignition.
Stay mellow, my friends.
The comma is.
May I introduce you properly since you're a guest on the program this week?
Of course, of course.
She is the sideline reporter for the Milwaukee Bucks, works for NBC Sports, and this is the most impressive thing, MT. Still third all time in three-pointers made for the Elon Phoenix. Zora Stevenson is with us. Thank you for coming. Appreciate it.
Oh, I'm honored. Excited to talk to
you. Did you leave third on the list? Or did somebody
So pass? I don't know what I left in terms of makes. I left number one in 3-point percentage. Someone has since surpassed that.
Yes.
So I believe I'm two now.
Yes.
In 3-point percentage. But I didn't know what I was in makes. Yes. So that's a little
228, I think, was your total.
Can we solicit a moment of absolute truth serum and honesty? How does it feel to be passed? Are you happy for the young woman who passed you? Or are you like, oh, I can't stand that?
No. It's funny because someone brought it up. I didn't even realize it happened. And someone brought it up to me. And I was like, oh, dang. Because that's kind of been my thing. To prove that I actually did something. And now it's gone. But no, I mean, you know, they always say records are meant to be broken. But it is nice to have it. Mm. But, you know, it's all good.
So when you watch, you have a unique perspectives. You watch somebody like Steph shooting. Is it more appreciative, or are you just like, yeah, that's what greatness looks like? I've had runs like that in my career. I know what that's like.
Yeah, but his run doesn't end. Right. Like right. shooters tend to be streaky, right? Yeah. And they can have, you know, a couple games where they're on, but like the consistency is wild to me. And then the range too. A lot of times when shooters have range, they can step, you know, 5-6 feet behind the line, but they're open when they do that.
Yeah.
They're not coming off the dribble, a live dribble, pulling up. I mean, I know Dame does it as well, but just the ease that it seems that he has at that distance is nuts.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, like obviously different levels here, but like, I mean, I had range behind the line, but I was open. It's because I was backing up in the, you know, and just the fact that he's guarded out there and just pulls up at any time, the skill level is crazy.
I would imagine watching hoop with you is like super fun, especially when you're not working, because are you one of the people who like can predict if the shot's not going in by looking at the form? Like, oh, that's off. Or are you one of those people?
And you can, there's ways to even predict what a shot's going to look like simply by looking at somebody's feet, right? Or like there's little intricacies.
See, that's
of,
that,
you know,
that's
their
that
feet.
Basketball nuance. I love
exactly.
That.
Or as soon as it leaves the hands, not so much the form, because nowadays everybody's form is very different. There's not traditional form anymore, I feel like. So it's more of like how it looks coming off the fingertips and the spin on the basketball, the arc on the basketball, things like that. And I'm like, but it's hard for me to get out of work mode.
Yeah.
I watch TV now and I'm so into like the broadcast vision. I always am wondering like how the reporters are going to tell their stories, what questions they ask. Like I'm into the nitty gritty of that. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of times how I'm watching basketball games too.
Well, I'm fascinated.
All right, important question. Hold on. Yeah, important go ahead, question. Go ahead. We got to ask this. Best form, Steph or Clay?
Unpopular opinion, maybe, but Klay Thompson's form is like,
it's the only correct answer. This is why she's a shooter. Okay. This is what I'm talking about, DA. That was, you passed the test. I mean, you passed it by being number one in 3-point percentage, but the secondary test, that's how you know a real shooter right there.
His form is, yeah. Like you want to talk about beef and like, you know, balance, elbow, eyes, follow through. That's Klay Thompson.
That's perfect. Almost. Perfect. Pretty much perfect.
Yeah.
No, it's textbook.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am fascinated by, you know, when someone who's played, I didn't play, I sucked, I was terrible. And so when somebody who played is in the sideline role, I know you are looking at the game completely differently than I'm looking at the game. And how do you kind of get out of that ex-player mode to, oh, wait, I got to be a reporter now again, like, you know, because I never had to worry about that transfer.
For sure. I also enjoy the storytelling aspect. And so that like moves me and motivates me in a different way. And I always tell people, like, what's cool about television and just the liveness of it all is that it gives me that same angst that I kind of had when I was playing. And so that's why I enjoy it so much. Where I find it's hard for me to turn it off is like at the end of the game, sometimes I ask too many like specific questions about plays and I'll use terminology that I, you know, I may need to explain to the average viewer.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And so the player knows what I'm talking about, but Zori, getting in the nitty gritty, like do more overarching things, do more generalized things. So I try to mix it up, like have generalized questions, but then, you know, there are the real like nerdy fans that want to get into the nitty gritty. So I try to appeal to multiple skill sets.
You can see her after a shot, right? Like, hey, your elbow was a little bit out. Like, yeah.
Exactly. The angle you took on that pin down wasn't exactly pristine. So let's talk about, I'm going to talk about you as much as you want to, but I think the Bucks are just fascinating to me because they won this thing in the most unexpected way, right? In the most unexpected place and venue and kind of how they did it was just like, I just wonder if you, like, I don't know how many games you got to see in person during the playoffs last year, you know, because I know the networks take it over at a certain time. What was that like just sitting there watching them kind of achieve this thing that had been this, like, mountain lion that had been eating them for years, you know?
I saw so many different gears hit throughout the playoffs. And it was like each series was a different season, which was wild to me. Mm-hmm. So you had that first series against Miami, and I felt like there was a lot of anticipation that it might be close.
Yeah.
And they shut all of that up. They proved that they had taken a step and they were in playoff mode.
Yeah.
And they had realized there's a difference between the regular season and the playoffs and what you have to bring, the execution, the effort, the tenacity, all those things. So they took that step in the first round. Second round against Brooklyn, you know, it's the general manager here, John Horst, always says you have to be healthy during the playoffs. Right. And they had some bumps and bruises, but they had enough depth. You have to be good, which I think there's no debating the Bucks have skill set. And you have to be a little lucky.
Sure.
Got a little luck.
Yeah.
But it's one thing to get lucky. You got to take advantage when you get it.
Yeah.
And so that Brooklyn series started off awful. There was, you know, I mean, it was like, whoa, what's going on? And then it was like a realization of we have an opportunity.
Right.
We need to seize that. Right. And I was in Brooklyn for game 7. And there was a lot of moments where I felt like the Bucks of, you know, the season before that would have failed.
Yeah.
And they kept coming even with every run. We talk about basketball being a game of runs, and they've learned how to respond to runs,
right?
Which I think is impressive. Then you go to the Hawks series, which to me, out of all four, was the you know. But the big thing out of that was Giannis got injured, and you know, the day they clinched the NBA Finals, he was not on the floor.
Right.
So like, put some respect on Chris Middleton's name, mm-hmm, please. Mm-hmm. Can you know? That's always been an argument. And then the Finals, it started off again, down 0-2 again, and it was like, my goodness. And Giannis in game 6, I've never seen him play like that. I don't think anybody has. I don't even think he's ever been in that mode. He said, Zora, I don't even remember some of those moments because I was just in a different zone.
Somewhere else, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know what's, it's just, first off, it was just incredibly cool to watch, right? Like, we literally watched history blossom. Like, it happened right before our eyes in the most dramatic way, right? And Giannis is just such an entertaining figure. At what point did you get to... realize, I mean, you put in countless hours, all kind of time to get to where you are, right? And, you know, I know a lot of people don't know. You probably just popped up on their TV, right? They just like, hey, who's the singer? But did you have a moment to kind of just like, you know, I grew up watching basketball. I played basketball and I just really witnessed like history. I witnessed one of the greats of all time become that, right? How, like, what was that moment like when it hit you, and how cool was that?
I think that's the great challenge, is to be able to sit back and take it all in. Like, we're wired in this business to just keep going. And so when, like, the clock went to zero and the Bucks had won the finals, in that moment, I'm like, okay, Zora, what questions are you going to ask? Yeah. And, you know, you're I mean, the crowd is insane, and you're trying, we did shoulder programming for Bally at that point. Yeah. And so you're trying to get interviews as fast as you can, because, you know, once they go in the locker room, that's a whole nother thing. And so I'm like in work mode, and I really, honestly, and even in the parade, like I had to host the parade. And so even in that moment, I was in work mode. It probably wasn't until this season started and like the banner went up the guys got their rings. I was like, wow. To me, because people keep asking, obviously I didn't win anything, but I cover this team so closely. It's beautiful to see people reach the pinnacle of what they've worked so hard for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then on a personal level, to be able, like, I had never been to an NBA Finals game before game in Phoenix.
Wow. How about that?
So, I mean, I grew up a Wizards fan.
Certainly haven't been to a Finals.
That almost excluded you from it, right?
Like, almost excluded me.
So, you were forbidden
first
from
and second
going.
Round is as long as I've, you know, first and second round is as good as I've gotten. So just being that first game in Phoenix, I took that in and I was like, whoa, this is really cool.
Yeah. It's different.
At a finals game.
Finals are different, man. If you ever get a chance, boy, you got to go to one, because it's just a whole different, it's a whole different vibe and mentality. What do you think they, you know, you mentioned they got off to a kind of up and down start. And I think a lot of that is, you know, Brooke's been hurt and hasn't played, and Middleton was out with COVID. And I mean, these are key guys. These are not like end of the bench guys. But, you know, as we tape this, I think they've won like 7 in a row or something like that. They look like they're getting back to being themselves now. So what do you think they brought forward from the championship last year that kind of allowed them to get through the first rough 5, 6, 7 games and not worry too much about it?
Poise and confidence. It's the season goes like this, but you can stay like this.
Right.
I think Giannis has talked about that. Chris has always been really good at that. But as a collective, I feel that with them. Even as everything around them, injuries and, you know, some days the shot's going to fall. Seasons like this, but the team has remained like this. And then that confidence of what's happening in October and November does not dictate what happens in June. Because, I mean, when you're in the thick of like the playoffs, what happens now, we're not even talking about it. They're not talking about it. It is so like a week in the NBA seems like months at times because so much could happen in such a short amount of time. So I think they're realizing like there's different pieces to this. And so right now it's just about getting everybody healthy, everybody acclimated. You know, after the All-Star break, I think is when you kind of gauge things a little bit more.
I remember when the Warriors won their first title. Remember how DA, everybody was like, it was luck. Remember Doc Rivers called it luck.
Doc Rivers,
everybody was they were the most uninjured team in history.
Right.
And they really had like a chip on their shoulder. And obviously after the Bucks won, everybody's like, it's Brooklyn, right?
It doesn't matter.
I wonder, obviously the health and, you know, has been an issue. So it's been tough to kind of get that going. But how motivated are they to kind of essentially validate a title they won, which is kind of ridiculous to say out loud, but right? Like, what's that disposition been like?
I don't think they feel that they have anything to prove. Yeah. I really believe these guys are like, we won. Say what you want, but we did it. I mean, they were just so full of joy. Like, there's no like, oh, this one is less than, or I mean, and you could talk about it being even having one of those asterisks because COVID was still going on and there was a lot happening. And just to get through that season. And then, I mean, they weren't 100% healthy. I know Brooklyn, you know, had things going on, but like Giannis's knee was not 100%.
Right.
And he played his best basketball to help get this team. And Dante was out. Right. So like, it's not like they had this red carpet laid out for them in this easy road. They had to go through their ups and downs and overcame adversity. If anything, I think it's okay, fine. If people are going to say that that was a little bit of luck, well, that luck is going to prepare them for when it's not so lucky,
right?
And for whatever's ahead,
right?
In the same vein, you know, there was a guy, I can't remember his name, but he was supposed to be fired if they didn't win the title. Everybody was taking his job away. So did Bud walk in with his shirt unbuttoned down to his stomach, like with his stunner shades on? Like, what was that y'all were talking? Y'all can't see me now.
Yeah, an extension now. So winning, we know what winning does. It, you know, changes everything.
Yeah, yeah. I like Bud. I mean, Bud's just kind of, I mean, he's different off the floor. I'll just say that. He's different off the court than he is.
He's a really nice guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a cool, I mean, all the players talk about how laid back he is. I was just asking Grayson Allen, who's in Milwaukee for the first year. I was like, have you ever had practices that are like an hour? He's like, never. Like, this is amazing. I mean, a lot of players talk about how he manages things and their bodies and all that kind of stuff. So players appreciate him.
Man,
so,
you tell me I'm getting fired or I don't deserve my job and I win. I'm coming back. I'm stepping on people's couches with my dirty shoes.
You know what I'm saying? I'm parking in people's spaces and shit. So when did the reporting storytelling bug get in you?
Oh, well, you know, it started as Zora loves basketball and just wants to stay in basketball. I'm going to be completely honest. Yeah. I just wanted to be involved in sports. And after college, I couldn't get a sports job. And with the thing with sports is I find in my experiences is where news jobs are posted, sports jobs are not. Sports jobs are all in the background.
Right, right, right.
And so when I was graduating college, I took a news job. And, you know, it's like being present where you are. I got ingrained in it. Mm-hmm. And I learned how to shoot video, write, edit, deliver, be concise, you know. And so I, you know, garnered all the skill sets to be able to report on anything.
Basically,
and
I realized. Like, what she's saying.
Exactly.
And I learned that, like, if you know how to be a reporter, you can do politics or you can do basketball.
Yeah.
Like, it really, it's all the same skill sets. And so I really got into all the storytelling stuff. And hard news got to be a lot. I went from Greenville, North Carolina to Denver. And, you know, we're running to the worst thing in a city every single day. Sure. And I was like, I got to get back to basketball. And I would send my stuff out everywhere. And people were just like, you don't have enough sports experience. So I would do color commentary for the D2 school. I would go cover UC Boulder on an off day. Right. I taught my husband how to like use a camera and he would be my cameraman. And we just go do interviews and put together enough stuff for that's real. Great. And I always, you know, a lot of people reach out and they're like, you know, they want to hear your story. And I'm like, it only takes one yes. The Bucks saw something. They were like, you could do this. And here I am. And I feel like everything has opened up from there.
Wow.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You know, my wife
shout out to the husband, by the way.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My wife is from just outside of Milwaukee, so I know that area very well. But it's different. It's a different vibe. It's a different flavor. And you have to kind of accept that. But I found that folks in Milwaukee are pretty genuine and pretty cool. I know they got
man,
some.
I got problems with Milwaukee, man. When I was there for internship, I interned at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in 1998. It was terrible. We went back for NABJ. I'm like, Milwaukee is low-key lit. Like, what the hell took y'all so long? Like, it's a way different city now. I'm like, why y'all pop after I leave? That was out of my
So, how did you, I mean, what was that kind of, you know, transition like for you? Because you're a DMV girl. You know what growing up in this town is like. It's different than growing up in Milwaukee would be.
Did the Afrofest hold you over or no?
You know, there's a lot of folk here.
Yeah, there are.
What's interesting is like, I feel like I'm in a little bit of a bubble. You know, I'm just so ingrained with work that I don't realize all the things outside of the Bucks. Like the Bucks are not Milwaukee, right? Obviously it's a huge part of it, but there's so many people that could never even go to a game, it's not something that's attainable. So Milwaukee's been really, really good to me though. I'm a chill person. You know, I like to be able to go out to dinner in sweats and not have to, you know, say what I do or who I am. Just be.
Yeah.
And Milwaukee's that type
Milwaukee,
of town.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's definitely Milwaukee. That's Milwaukee. For sure.
So I appreciate that part about it. And it's a nice place. You know, you go to all the NBA cities. It's a nice place to come home and just chill out. I'm to the point now it's 40 degrees outside and I like just have sweats on. So I feel like I'm getting acclimated to the freezing cold.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it is. And so it's everywhere, you know, no traffic.
Yeah.
I mean, DMV is like ridiculous. I don't have to time anything out. I can be late and still be on time, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So yeah, but obviously it's, you know, Peter Fagan, the president here, when he first got here said, you know, it's wild to me. Like, you know, Milwaukee's like one of the most segregated places ever been. And that's, you know, what I do appreciate about the Bucks is they're like so in the community. So through work, I've been able to meet so many different types of people, been all over the city. And it's just wild to me, the tale of two cities that this area is.
No question.
It's ridiculous and it's sad.
Actually. Yeah, yeah, that's what you're saying.
40%. Yeah, 40%.
Right. But the two never meet. Never meet anywhere.
I didn't see 40% when I was there. That's all I'm saying. I didn't see him there. I was looking for him. I was riding around.
Well, because you were downtown. That's why.
I had nowhere else to go. I was pop up and you end up in a city you can't pronounce. It's like, let me get my butt back to Milwaukee.
what was the, you know, the Bucks led the way on the social justice thing with George Floyd and then the Jacobs shooting and it was just it was a minute and I just wonder what that felt like being on the ground there. And I know they were in the bubble the first time, but just like, what did it feel like knowing that this is your team that's taking the lead in talking out about these things?
I was proud, because especially at that point, that was a team that had a lot of pressure on its back to perform and to win. And that was supposed to be the year. And you knew if you took that stance not to play, it adjusted things. I know it's like an unsaid thing and there's no real way to pinpoint it, but to take a stand like that, it changed things on the court. And they said, that's okay. As a unit, they said, that's okay. That's where it was. I know George Hill like was such an integral part of that, but everybody had to be on board. Yeah. And I just thought that's what amazed me because there's so many different personalities and backgrounds in a locker room. And then, you know, the other thing is it didn't start just with, you know, I know that's what got the most attention, but the one day I'll never forget as a part of this job is they went to a prison December 2019. So this was even before the bubble.
Right.
Giannis went, George Hill went, Kyle Korver went, Pat Connaughton, like all the main names on the team. And they were like in a circle with people who were incarcerated, all telling their stories. It was just and it was just like, it wasn't MVP and inmate. It was human and human.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, I have so much respect for these men, you know? And then there was a whole basketball game and the mascot was there. And it's moments like that where I'm like, this team is about so much more than what they do on the court. And it's not just in the big televised, publicized moments. It's the things they do off the court that, you know, don't get a ton of pub.
Speaking of off the court, like I wanted to ask you about this before we get into some more basketball, but man, how fun is Giannis to cover? Like I was literally sitting there with my wife and daughter
watching the clip of him talking about Oreos, like literally tickled like a kid. Like, this is like, yo, I want some Oreos now. Just, but this dude just seems like he's just incredible to be around, right? Like, just to cover, to get to know. I can imagine how he presents himself publicly. It's probably even better privately, right? So what's that like? And you almost lose the fact that he's going to go down as one of the best to ever play this game, right? So you kind of lose the fact that he's an all-time great because he just feels so tangible.
Right, like you can relate to him, but it's like, well, I'm not even close to you at all. Does that make sense in terms of your, like, our, your ability is like,
yes,
here?
I remember
somehow I feel like we have things in common.
I remember
which
is the
wild.
Mind blowing off Oreos and milk, like done. It was like, yo, this is the greatest thing ever. Like that was so relatable to me.
Right. Yeah.
And how beautiful is that you can relate to what so many see as a superhero? Like, a lot of times you can't relate to your heroes, and Giannis has that ability just, and it's not even like he's trying. It's just because he still has this kid mentality. He's relatable to your daughter, yeah, who, you know, or somebody that may not even know about basketball, but they know about Oreos. They, you know, the other day he was showing off basketball cards, whether you're not into basketball, but maybe you collect something that's important to you. You know, I think that's really awesome.
You can relate to the kids who get his shoes and his jersey, right? Like,
oh, I watched that the other night. He gave the kid the jersey, and he gave the kid's sister, or he gave the kid his shoes and gave his sister the jersey.
Yes.
That was just, damn, I'm an old cynical reporter. And I was like, damn, that's pretty cool.
Like, turn the air off.
So I always felt like, Zora, the Bucks love it when nobody pays any attention to them. Like, y'all want to talk about, you know, KD and Kyrie and Harden and Brooklyn, fine, go ahead. We'll just show up with our 60 and see who wins in June. And I wonder if that's even more kind of what they would like. It's harder because they're the defending champions, but would they like to not have any attention on them during this season?
They get that question all the time. Like, do you feel like you're seen as underrated or you don't get enough attention? And they're like, we don't mind it. That's how their personalities are, though. Yeah. I mean, like, the leaders of this team, Chris, Drew, and Giannis, are all laid back. I wonder what it would be like if there were, like, you know, cameras here every day and a ton of people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They get to kind of live their lives unbothered, and I feel like they appreciate that. And it's almost like their work is done in silence. It's not, because they're in the NBA and nothing's in silence. But I mean, right now, what, 7 in a row, and they get to just kind of like build and get better,
yeah,
without all the attention. I don't think they mind it.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yeah. How, like, where do you stand with where this team is? Again, regular season, what's that to them, right? The small potatoes, the champions. But in terms of, you know where they'll need to be come playoff time and how they need to acquiesce. I know the 7-game win streak is not, like, super impressive. It's against beatable teams, but it's still 7 wins. Where are they as far as, you know, piecing together and getting ready for their defense?
I think they're in a really good place, but I think as time goes on, this team is going to continue to evolve because you're going to get Brooke Lopez back, and then it's going to be another iteration of the team. They're going to, like, right now with Bobby Portis at the five, they're playing completely different right. defensive schemes
yeah.
because they're playing what is good for Bobby Portis. You can't expect Bobby Portis to play like Brooke, right? Like that's, and he even said credit to Coach Bud for making adjustments in that area. So what I mean is, as each piece comes back, it's going to be a different team. And so I'm going to have to reevaluate, I think, each iteration of this team all the way up until the playoffs. Cause like, okay, you got DeMarcus Cousins, who you've got to iterate. I think that'll be, you know, minutes off the bench, but how does that even work? And then you go Brooke Lopez coming back or Dante DiVincenzo, whoever comes first, and each piece coming back is going to be a different point of the team. Do they make any changes before the deadline? Another piece of the team. So I think that's going to continue to evolve.
Zora, you still, do you ever dream about still playing?
Yes and no. Like the competitive spirit is still there and I still get mad if I lose like in a pickup game,
yeah.
but I'm also realistic with what my skill set was and what my ceiling was in the game. And so I'm content and I just feel blessed that I get to continue it. Like what the orange ball has done for me mm-hmm. isn't just on the court. And so I have gratitude in that way. But yeah, like I was shooting out here today and my shots were even like Darvin Ham was like, geez, I'm like, I know it's a lot of bricks. So I got to get back in the gym. And
do you go to D Ham and some of the assistants and say, look at my, what's wrong with my wrist? What's going on with this? What's
right. I should ask for advice. I haven't done
you
that.
Know? Yeah, I know what's wrong I with should. It. I feel like roll off.
Speaking of bricks, actually the opposite of bricks, how Grayson Allen has been like the low key one of the coldest pickups
yeah.
of the season. Like the dude is shooting what 40%+ from three. How big has he been and what's he like? You know, he's a very unlikable dude, right? A lot of people don't like Grayson Allen. I'm curious how he fits amongst a super likable team.
For sure. I think Grayson Allen is in a much, I know so many people hear the word, they hear the name Grayson Allen and think Duke Grayson Allen, but NBA Grayson Allen and Milwaukee Buck Grayson Allen is a completely different basketball player. Yeah. And he fits right in with that chill personality and mood and theme. I mean, he kind of comes in, does his job and goes about his day, says he likes Milwaukee. He's found some nice spots. You know, I think it, again, the city like is so chill. It fits with a lot of these guys, and he said it's the most open he's ever been, which is 100% the Giannis effect.
Yeah.
I looked at the numbers, and last season with Memphis, about 60% of his shots, catch and shoot opportunities were unguarded.
Yeah.
This season, already 70%. And I said that to him, and he said, and I'm putting it up more attempts.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting, you know, just for a shooter to come in. It's like a shooter's dream here because Giannis, he's going to kick it to you.
Yeah.
He's going to kick it out. All you got to do is make
did
it.
Did Grace, I mean, I know some guys will come into that situation and go, well, I don't want to shoot too much. You know, I don't want to, because it's Giannis's team. Did he automatically kind of not roll Grayson, into that? Yeah. yeah. This is going up one way or the other, right? Was there any transition for him off of that?
I think he was in an interesting position because early both Drew and Chris were in and out.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that automatically meant there were more shots. So he's now going through a period, I think, of I got to figure out how to get my touches with the big three in there. But like the first 10 games, 15 games of the season, it was kind of him and Giannis out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now, you know, I mean, last, what, 7 games or so, 10 points per game, which there was a 5-game stretch when Chris was out, he was averaging 19.
Yeah.
I just think that's, you know, the ball's in Chris Drew, Giannis's hands more.
Right. Yeah.
Rightfully so.
And I think he understands that.
Are they learning yeah. that, like, how confident or how effective is this Bobby Portis small ball lineup? I mean, obviously, you're getting a lot of it. And the realization is Brooke Lopez is 33 years old. He's played a lot in this league. And you probably have to be prepared for him right. to miss time. How effective is that? Is this a lineup that they can bank on? Because it looks really good at times in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's doable. You work with what you got and you work with what's available. So in the beginning, I think there was a transition period. They had to figure out defensively. I think offense comes, but they had to figure out defensively how to have Bobby as, they call it, the MIG, most important guy, defensively. But like, my question back to you is, like, is it truly small ball? I think Bobby's 6'10", Giannis is 7 feet. Yeah. Like, should we feel, you know, they've got the size. I think
skinny ball,
so
we'll call it.
From,
skinny ball.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Well, I just think mostly because Bobby can shoot it so well, but so can Brooke. So it's probably not that much different. He just feels a little smaller.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's smaller next to Brooke, right?
He's small. Yeah, compared to Brooke. Yeah. Right.
Exactly. So, what do you – I always want to ask, reporters this. The idea that, there's people – I always tried to think about it like there may be somebody who's never seen Giannis play. And they're watching this game tonight. And I always put pressure on myself. Like, I don't want to mess this story up because somebody may not know who these guys are. And I just wonder what you bring, how you approach that when you're thinking about doing a particular game that night, understanding that it's not just the hardcore fans, but it's a lot of casual fans, especially now with the Bucks, because they're the defending champs. There's a lot of casual fans who may not know the game as well. And how do I kind of marry those two things together?
I think I can't marry them together in one report, but I can marry them together in the types of reports I do. Mm-hmm. So I could have one report that appeals to the hardcore fan. I could have one report that shows more of the human side of Giannis or any of the players, right? Yeah. I could have the more generalized report or the nitty gritty report. And so that's what I try to do, is just try to mix the stories that I'm telling up. So yeah, one report, you may not understand anything I'm saying because I'm talking about intricacies and themes of the team.
The dunker spot.
And one report, yeah, the dunker spot, right? Like, if you don't, and I don't even want to say if you don't watch basketball, if you really don't pay attention to the Bucks, you may not even understand what that is. Yeah. And then the next story may be talking about Oreos or George Hill buying somebody's groceries, right? Yeah. And you can relate to that. So I just try to mix it up. That's the biggest thing. That I've found has worked. But it's so hard because, like, when you're on these regional broadcasts, right, you feel like you're covering the same team every single day. So that challenges us, though, to get creative and really report, right, and get different stories.
Listen, I want the nuance. We had Roz Godon Wude during the Warriors run, another player, just the intel, like having somebody who knows what they're seeing in timeouts, who knows, like, just so much of the little stuff. I think there's a huge audience for it. Like, we love that stuff. Like, I want the sideline reporter to bring me something I didn't know. And y'all hoopers can do that. Like, like plays and, all that, like, type of stuff that we just don't know. We think we know what we don't know. So I hope you keep doing it. I think it's what's great. I think it's where Elon comes in, right? Like,
exactly.
You ain't do all them practices for nothing. I'm about to break it down for you. don't let go of that though. I want to know.
You bring incredible chops to it, Zora. I can't thank you enough for joining us today, and I wish you nothing but the best of success going forward. You are a superstar, and it's going to just get better for you. So, keep doing what you're doing.
Remember
you're
the little great. People, man. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
Like, and the old people.
We don't need a lot. Just throw the deuces up, say what's up, like acknowledge us when we say your name through the crowd and security. It's all good.
No. Marcus, DA, seriously, thank you both. Thank you so much.
And I won't remind you that American beat Elon in 2012, your freshman year. Come on.
Oh, wow.
This is where we end.
take back everything we said.
Take it all back. Oh, man. We appreciate you being on. We appreciate all of y'all listening. Leave that 5-star review for us on Apple, on Google Play, Spotify, wherever you are listening to this fine American U.S.-born podcast. Marcus, as always, if they do less than 5 stars, what do they need to do?
They need to stop being Wizards fans because clearly they used to trash. Right? Leave 5 stars. Quit being a hater.
Damn. Wizards are 13-8, man.
I'm just following y'all lead. Y'all were killing.
I know it's not 16-2, but 13-8 is pretty good around here.
The Wizards are good.
You're like up and down. And she's like, I don't know the success of a Wizards fan. But I figured the pound on the Wizards. Sorry, Wizards fans. My bad.
I like that. That's a good